Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, J. Will, and Freddie Coleman, presented by Progressive Insurance. James Steele, one of our producers behind the scenes, is fanning J. Will as we speak. This has all gotten started because James Steele, Jeremy Melholt, Pat Costello, and Alan Yates came in this morning because J. Will last night put on Twitter that he is looking for an executive assistant. So these guys are falling over themselves to try to get this job. By the way, a J. Williams Twitter handle, at Real J. Williams, he has already put out what the resumes look like when it comes from Alan, from Pat, from James, and from Jerry. So go on his Twitter handle, at Real J. Williams, and check out what the resumes actually look like. And James Steele is trying to be the lead in the co-class right now.
Thank you for your services. Yeah, thank you. Your job is done, yes. Can I read you the feedback that I have on all these resumes?
Please do.
As you can look, so Jerry is a guy to the far right.
Yep.
With the questionable tie selection and pocket square. His resume was very complete. My only feedback for him is his real name is really James. That's inside joke that will ever get, but it doesn't matter. So we'll never call him Jerry again.
It's a pocket triangle more than a pocket square.
There's a lot of confusion around, you know, Jerry and James, and
sure.
we can relate, Freddie, because we all don't look alike, you know. So, but people have confused Jerry and James, so I just call him James.
How do we do the cultural triangle?
It's okay. It's the morning time. We just talk about it openly. Let's go to the second resume here, Pat Costello. Who has the picture? He says, "I love Duke," and it's a picture of my coach in a bend it down.
Look at that! Look at that intensity.
Yeah, don't say "look at that intensity." That's weird. I don't like my coach bending over. You saying intensity? Things like weird resume because it's not really it's not him. Questionable loyalty because he doesn't really like Duke at all, and he's kind of a fraud in my opinion. That's my feedback for Pat.
What? Pat, your response, your rebuttal,
not believable.
What? I love Duke and I love you, Jay. So yeah, there you go.
See that's a lie. I can tell both of those are lies.
I love Duke. I got you coffee.
You came. Well, that's the truth.
Yeah.
That's
you ever seen an episode of Martin when he's fighting Tommy Hearns? Pat sound like Martin. I did it for Coach K.
I did Coach
and
K.
I did it for him. Don't walk away, Jay. Please tell Jay don't walk away.
Okay, let's get to our other guy. Jerry, his real name is James.
Back on
and
that.
And his note is, I'm a good assistant. Hire me. Thanks. I actually appreciate that. I said, simple and easy. Less is more.
Okay.
I did say questionable grooming, though. Sometimes there is an awkward musk that comes from James.
Wait, what?
That is.
What? I don't.
You saying James smells bad?
Well, do you shampoo the beard?
Yeah.
I've never gotten that
when it
from
gets
you.
Longer, I condition it.
Attaboy.
Right. Okay.
Sure. Good truth response.
And I said musical taste. Just not enjoyable for me.
Wonderful.
Just not enjoyable for me.
James, I guarantee I'm like the only one where you and I share the. That they intersect.
It's rare and few that I can actually name a band that he plays leading into the show. I mean, it's just not
sounds
my cup
like
of tea.
It sounds like I can help you expand your musical horizon.
Thank you. There you go. Turning a negative into a positive.
Jordan.
Thank you, Jordan. And then we have Alan Yates, the last one here. I said, Alan Yates. Some notes here. Personality type, very Kyrie Irving-like.
Completely.
I just don't know what I'm going to get, you know?
Yes.
Some days good, some days very moody.
Facts.
Never really brushes his hair, but refers to it as his frequency.
It's high.
Okay, see? High frequency.
High frequency.
There you go. Turn it. Okay. Lies about his height very often.
Completely.
That's the most accurate one you've had.
That's, no
what?
Question.
I get 6'4", 6'5".
Yes, I'm
man.
At least 6'3".
You're at least not 6'3".
I feel like I'm 6'8", Shaq and a Buick on
no,
some days, too.
No.
Yeah. And then the last point, is he too light-skinned? I don't know. That's just a question we'll throw out there for our guests.
If that's the case, Jerry and I are in trouble.
Speaking as a light-skinned brother, Alan is not too light-skinned. Speaking as a light-skinned brother.
I was light-skinned 2 weeks ago. Is what it is?
You disagree with the song.
I'm moving towards more like Key.
You really
Snipes.
Are.
Wesley Pipes, you know?
Keith,
it happens.
Jay,
it happens.
What? Jay, if Key's in the sun a little bit too much, navy black.
He would
stuff.
Be a beast in the game Manhunt.
Get those earth tones would never going on.
Like the unlocked character just, at some point. Where, you
where have you been? I've been here the whole time.
Been here the whole time.
Been here the whole time.
I saw your eyes, but we didn't see you. You win.
Hey, just because we can tell those jokes doesn't mean you can. Pat, James.
Over here. I didn't say anything.
This guy, James and Pat were like, wait a minute. We didn't. No, we weren't even going
James
there.
James put his hands up. James put his hands up.
He's like, wait a minute. Oh, I don't blame James. I don't blame you. Don't James, Pat, do not drag
this
me
into
that fire.
This is why I love our show. We are fools. We are. This is.
Yes.
The kind of jokes we tell on a day-to-day basis are just. Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, don't worry.
Sorry, Kevin.
Because we go from the darkness of this show to the darkness of the Brooklyn Nets here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio. You didn't think I could do it, could you? ESPN 2, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, also your smart speakers. By the way, hit us up anytime. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What resume would you give Jay Williams to be his executive assistant? What would your resume look like to be Jay Williams' executive assistant? He's put out the ones from the staff so far today. The four that have been out there from Pat, Jerry, James, and Alan.
Is he too light-skinned?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Pat, is he too much in love with Coach K? James, is his beer too fresh? Jerry, we have a pocket square instead of a pocket triangle. What would your resume look like if you wanted to be Jay Williams' executive assistant? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Meanwhile, back in Brooklyn, the last time we left our heroes, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Kevin Durant made his trade request. Kyrie Irving has bought a place in L.A. But
are they the heroes? Are they villains?
We're
not sure if Kyrie bought a place in L.A. It's speculation.
It's speculation.
Rumored to have bought a place.
That's fine.
Yeah.
The rumors are out there.
Okay.
Kevin Durant wants out.
Because a lot of athletes own places in California, by the way. Regardless of whether they want to play out there or not, it's L.A.
Yeah,
we got it.
Swimming pools.
We are Key. Talk about his toes being out every day.
Oh, my God. Yeah, his toes in the water, butt in the sand.
It's every day.
Doodle-doodle-dee, wubba-wubba-wubba. We get it from him. But Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst, says, hey, we heard what Kevin Durant said. He's not believing it.
Let me channel my inner Brian Windhorst for a second. Okay, I'm looking at it and I'm saying, why would KD want out? Okay, why would Kyrie go searching and seeing if a team would want to do a sign and trade, and then all of a sudden he opt in into his contract? And then all of a sudden, once Kyrie Irving opts in into his contract, then Kevin Durant comes out and says, I want to be traded. He tells the Brooklyn Nets he want to be traded. I'm to the point, and I came up with the conclusion that I don't believe Kevin Durant. I don't believe it at all. Matter of fact, it makes zero sense to me that he wants to be traded at this point. I don't believe he believes it. I think Kevin Durant is doing this as a scare tactic in order to help Kyrie Irving have leverage to get him signed long-term with the Brooklyn Nets.
So, okay. Freddie, I want to pose a question to you, and I'm going to set up the scenario before I ask the question.
Okay.
Negotiations are hard, right? They're always hard. I'm sure you've been a part of a few negotiations. I know I have.
Mm-hmm.
There's sometimes you win. There's sometimes you lose.
Or you need to
take a little bit of humble pie and come back to the table and readdress it, right? That's what we're seeing in real time right now happen between – it was originally happening between Kyrie Irving and the Nets. And then it showed alignment between KD and Kyrie – that it happened between KD, Kyrie, and the Nets, and Josiah, and Sean Marks. But when it's all said and done, if at the end of this year,
okay,
Kyrie Irving and KD find a way to play for the Brooklyn Nets,
right,
and win a world championship,
oh boy,
how would that make you view Kevin Durant as a leader? If he's backed his teammate, it still got to the table.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't follow through with any trades. They both ended up playing, and they won.
Okay.
Hmm. Where would you see Kevin Durant as a leader if they won a championship, considering the way everything has went down, and if it goes down that way I just described?
I don't know if it'll change my mind, and here's why. Because I'm okay if Kevin Durant does not want to be a leader. I know that that's not what people want to hear, Jay, but I'm okay with it. If you're going out there and you're producing, and you're leading your team in scoring, and you're leading your team to wins, I'm good with you not having to be that demonstrative leader. So it's not going to change my mind if he's going out there and being the best teammate for his basketball team. If at times he has to put Kyrie Irving in his place, don't think that's going to happen. You get to a certain point where you know your personnel. And he looks at Kyrie and says, there's certain things that I may be able to say I can't afford to have him be set off. And Kevin Durant, if you know your friends that well, you know what you can and you cannot say. But it's not going to change my opinion of him because I don't try to couch people and say that best players have to be the best leaders. I don't do that. If you can do whatever you want, if you're a good person, that means more to me than being a good leader or being a great leader, because there are plenty of great leaders that are terrible people. We all saw The Last Dance of Michael Jordan. Wasn't the nicest of guys being a great leader. Not saying that you have to be an awful person to be a great leader, or you can't be a great leader to be an awful person.
Stephen Curry.
Right. Stephen Curry's a terrific leader and a better person based on what we've seen and heard. So I'm not going to look at Kevin Durant any differently, because if you're proven to be a good teammate, the leadership thing doesn't matter to me. I know people try to put that on people because that's what they want them to be, Jay, more than anything else. That's why he's catching a lot of flack from the old heads like Charles Barkley, guys like that, because that's what they were used to in the 80s and 90s and 2000s. That doesn't mean that has to fly in 21st century athletics. I've never believed in that.
Look, there's a lot to unpack there with that, because I'm a believer in what you just said. There is something to say about making something yours, though, when it's all said and done.
But if he went to championship, isn't that his?
Yeah, but it feels like we'll talk about that when we come back.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of thoughts on that. You guys got to stay with us when we come back.
Yeah, we're going to do that in 25 minutes, and I guarantee you that conversation is going to take a whole different path here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, Jay Williams over here, Freddie Coleman over there, presented by Progressive Insurance. Speaking of leaders, what kind of leader can Baker Mayfield be if he has no team that wants him? This is ESPN Radio.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Baker Mayfield played through injury last year, did not play well. The Browns did not meet expectations. If you look at Baker's first 4 years, how many of them are undoubted successes?
Everything I've been told is that the relationship between the Browns and Baker Mayfield is shot and isn't repairable.
I think it's been pretty obvious the mutual decision on both sides is to move on. I'm thankful for my 4 years in Cleveland. There's a lot of ups and downs and a ton of learning experiences that forever keep with me.
Come on home now.
Come on, Dan. Come on, Dan. Put the hands up in the air, Dan. Give me a little two-step.
Dan Garcia, I was like, look, he's giving the eyes from side to side.
There it is, Dan. There it is. Take a sip of this, Dan. Let's go.
Wow. Poor Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider, joining us here. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max with J. Will and Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio, ESPN2. Moving aside from that, Dan Graziano, I'm going to completely save us from this whole thing. We're going to do a little RESPECT when it comes to Baker Mayfield. Right now, a man, even though he's under contract to Cleveland Browns, a man still without a football team. What is the latest what you're hearing about his future in the NFL in 2022?
Hoping a market kind of forms here. Look, he's got almost $19 million in fully guaranteed salary coming this year, and Everybody in the league knows that. So the teams that they've called and tried to trade him to have been able to play hardball and say, no, I mean, we're not going to give you what you want for him. Eventually, you're going to have to cut him and pay him that salary anyway, and we can sign him for whatever we want. So when you hear such and such team may not be interested, you have to realize that that means probably at this point, it means not interested in trading for him, but that their interest level might change if suddenly he were to be on the market as a free agent, which remains possible. Thing is, the Browns have to pay him anyway, guys. So, like, they don't gain anything from cutting him, right? Like, they could hold on to him as long as he doesn't show up, which he doesn't seem to want to. They could hold on to him right up until the trade deadline at the end of October if they wanted to, and see if a team gets desperate enough to make a move for him.
Dan, does it still seem like the two feasible destinations are probably Carolina or Seattle right now?
Yes, because those seem like the two teams that have the unsettled quarterback situations at the moment. I guess you could throw in Atlanta, but they sound like they like what they have, and they don't seem to be looking around, whereas those other two teams at least have at various points this offseason been looking around at other quarterback options. So those are the two obvious ones. But to this point, they haven't been able to find a deal. They talked to Carolina around the draft. They just weren't able to come to an agreement on how much money the Browns would pay and how much money Carolina would pay of that $19 million. So they remain at a standstill there.
Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. My boy Freddie Coleman filling in for Max today. Keyshawn is on vacation. Yeah, I just want to give him a jab. Enjoy that vacation, Key.
Wow.
Dan,
Dan,
I do want to ask you, what is the latest on Deshaun Watson?
Well, late last week, the hearing concluded in front of the discipline officer, Sue Robinson. Each side, Watson's side and the league side, has to file a post-hearing brief that is due next week. So really, she won't review those until she gets them next week. And then she'll render a decision sometime after that. Ideally, from the league standpoint and from Watson's standpoint and from the Browns standpoint, ideally that decision will come before the start of training camp, but there's no guarantee that that will happen. During the hearing, from what I was told, there were continued negotiations about a settlement, you know, what kind of punishment, what kind of suspension would be acceptable to both sides. So those talks could pick up again at any point. It's still possible they could come to a settlement and avoid it going to a decision from the discipline officer, but they weren't able to come close enough late last week. The league's still insisting, from what I've been told, on an indefinite suspension that would allow Watson to reapply, to apply for reinstatement after a certain period of time. Initially, they wanted that period of time to be a year, but they moved a little closer to Watson, and we're talking about, you know, he can reapply after 12 games, for example. But Watson's still not interested in signing up for that indefinite suspension. The league wants that indefinite suspension because they want to guard against the possibility of more information comes out in the future about Watson in these situations, whereas Watson would like to get this thing all wrapped up and settled. So that's been the main reason they haven't been able to come to an agreement there.
We've done the futures game with Baker Mayfield, who's not going to be the Cleveland Browns quarterback, Deshaun Watson, who wants to be the Cleveland Browns quarterback, and then Jimmy Garoppolo. Many people believe the Cleveland Browns should think about signing if things go that way, like you mentioned, with Deshaun Watson not trusting Jacoby Brissett being the Browns starting quarterback at the beginning of the year. Where are we at when it comes to Jimmy G and where he's going to start this season?
Garoppolo had shoulder surgery in March, and the plan all along was for him to start throwing again around this time. We were told late June, early July. So the expectation is he'll be able to get out there and throw and see how healthy he is. Once that happens, the Niners, much like the Browns, are hoping a market forms for Jimmy Garoppolo's services. Now, it gets a little complicated with him because you talk about Carolina and Seattle. The 49ers aren't going to want to trade Jimmy Garoppolo to a division rival, the Seattle Seahawks, so that probably takes them out of the market unless and until he gets cut. Now, the difference between Baker Mayfield and Jimmy Garoppolo is that Garoppolo's salary is not guaranteed. So the 49ers can cut him and be off the hook, just a couple million dollars in dead money, but they won't have to pay him unless they hold on to him. If he's on their roster week one, then that salary effectively does become guaranteed, $24 million. So look for the Niners, if they can't trade Jimmy Garoppolo by the start of the season, to release him, and then he would be free to sign with anybody, including that division rival team in Seattle.
Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max today. Dan, what are expectations for Zach Wilson and Daniel Jones for this upcoming season? Please help me on this Daniel Jones tip.
Well, Jay, the expectations for those two players are quite different. Zach Wilson heading into his second year, you know, the plan all along, the idea all along with Zach Wilson in year one was he would be getting up to speed at the NFL level, a player that really didn't have a lot of experience against high-level competition in college, a lot of experience, period, in college. You know, they all went through the COVID season and et cetera, et cetera. So he did a lot of learning last year. The coaching staff, by the way, a young, inexperienced coaching staff, also did a lot of learning last year, and they're all kind of growing together. They felt like they had some things under control with Zach Wilson late last year in terms of limiting turnovers, making better decisions, and they hope to continue to build on that. Very excited about the receiver they drafted in the first round, the running back they drafted in the second round. They feel like they're building something around Zach Wilson. They want to see growth from him this year. That's the expectation. Daniel Jones, heading into year four, the expectation for him is put up or shut up. This is it. Yep. Daniel Jones, they declined his fifth-year option for 2023, and this is the year. It's his third different coaching staff he's had, which, of course, is not his fault. But they want to see, are you the guy that can live up to that number six overall pick and be a true franchise quarterback for us going forward? If you are, this is your year to show it. If you're not, then we have to look at other options in next year's draft, next year's free agent market. So this is a critical year for Daniel Jones and his future with the Giants, whereas with the other New York team, it's Zach Wilson. Again, they're just sort of getting more information and hoping he takes another step forward.
We had Adam Schefter, one of your compadres, on yesterday. And Dan, check out what he had to say about the similarities between what Green Bay dealt with Aaron Rodgers and in Brooklyn this offseason in the NBA with KD, Kyrie, and that Nets organization.
Last year, Aaron Rodgers wanted to be traded. Was he traded? No, he was not. This year, Deebo Samuel wanted to be traded. Was he traded? No, he was not. Now, I know basketball is a different sport, but just because a superstar player, a la Aaron Rodgers, a la Deebo Samuel, wants to be traded, doesn't mean that a team has to acquiesce and go and trade that guy. Now, saying that, I know basketball is different. I know that when superstars ask for trades, more often than not, they have to be accommodated. And if the Nets decide to do accommodate Kevin Durant, I'd have one name in return that I would want to get back for him, Scottie Barnes.
How much do you see the same similarities, what he talked about in those situations, Dan?
Well, I think the key point Adam made there is that the NBA is different, right? The NFL, the players don't have, I mean, they've shown a little bit more in recent years, but they really don't have the level of control over their destinations that the NBA players do. Some exceptions, and some have been able to force their way out and into better situations. And honestly, you know, Aaron Rodgers may have wanted out, but ultimately came to the decision slash realization that the best place for him was in Green Bay. And by the way, they paid him. They've put off the guy they drafted to replace him. He's not in the picture right now. So it's a big difference. I think, you know, Adam's obviously you know, a big NBA fan. I don't know. He's trying to get Kevin Durant to Toronto. There would be very interesting. But I think the key difference in the NFL is, like, look at Deebo Samuel, right? I mean, this is a guy still looking for his first big contract. He was not a first round pick. He hasn't made life altering money, so he doesn't have the leverage. I mean, Kevin Durant doesn't need to play anymore, right? Like, if he said, look, trade me or I'm not playing, that's a legitimate threat. With Deebo Samuel in a situation like that, with the DK Met, you know, guys like that that are still waiting to cash in on that first big deal, it's not quite the same. So you see players in NFL situation, big difference. Remember Jadeveon Clowney forcing his way out of Houston. This was a number one overall pick that by this point had made a ton of money. Not every NFL player that doesn't like his situation is in that, you know, it has that ability that, say, a Kevin Durant or a Kyrie Irving has to force his way out, because they sort of don't need this anymore.
Hey, Dan, always appreciate, my friend, even though Jay tried to make you dance to Aretha Franklin to kick things off.
He was jamming. He was jamming.
You know, I just haven't been up as long as you guys. So, you know, give me a couple hours. Maybe.
Dan, when you really get going, do you get the overbite? Do you go,
Well, you know, we just gotta find out. I'm on other shows later today, so people just gotta keep watching.
Okay. Attaboy.
I like
that.
Well done.
See, that's teasing ahead. Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider. Always appreciate you, Dan. Take care, my man.
All right, Dan.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. And we're gonna try to find out the answer to this question that Jay threw at me about Kevin Durant. If there is an answer about Brooklyn, Kevin Durant, and having it his own.
ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reports Kevin Durant wants to be traded away from the Brooklyn Nets.
There was a sense of inevitability, I think, around the Nets and around Kevin Durant that this day was coming.
I think it's about time that Kevin Durant severed ties with Kyrie Irving as teammates.
There's got to be a trade, and it's just a matter of where he winds up.
If Kevin Durant is on the first train out, Kyrie Irving will be on the caboose as far as the Nets are concerned.
I think it's very likely that not only Kevin Durant, but Kyrie Irving have played their last games for the Nets.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, always going hard, presented by Progressive Insurance and ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Sirius XM Channel 80, as well as ESPN 2. He's Jay Williams from Freddie Coleman. And you posed this question to me about 30 minutes ago, not even 30 minutes ago, about 15 minutes ago, in terms of Kevin Durant. And yeah, he's going to be concerned about his legacy. The more that somebody says, I don't worry about that, they're worried about that. If they're saying, I'm not trying to be this, they're about to be that when it comes to Kevin Durant. But you mentioned the point in terms of with his legacy and going from one place to another place to another place and needing to make Brooklyn his own and having a trade demand wanting out of Brooklyn, and that concerns you when it comes to Kevin Durant, even though it does not concern me in terms of leadership.
It doesn't concern me. It's just a matter of, Where are you deciding to put your feet down? And maybe this is not for you. Maybe there isn't one location where you're deciding to say, this is mine.
Okay.
You know, this is going to sound, I'm used to players doing that, wanting to say, this is mine.
Right.
Like, I'm going to build this out. And maybe it's just that the overall legacy of KD and Kyrie is that they're mercenaries. They're hired assassins. They go to different locations. They win chips. You know, whatever it is. But, you know, there's certain things. When I think about Kobe Bryant, I think about L.A. When I think about Larry Bird, I think about Boston.
Sure.
When I think about, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I think about L.A. Like, there's certain pieces, like players that are just synonymous with the towns or the franchises that they built. I'm just wondering for KD if that will happen now at 33 years old in his career.
Here's why.
It doesn't need to happen.
It doesn't
just
need
things
to.
That you're curious about.
Here's why I hear where you're coming from, and I'm going to use a 21st century mindset when it comes to this. This is what happens when people try to follow a template of somebody else, and that guy's LeBron James. Because look what LeBron did. LeBron let it be known that you can go to different places and win championships and have that as a part of your legacy without people putting you in that box. It is a total 21st century way when it comes to professional athletes, not NFL, because it seems that if you're a quarterback, we're going to think of Patrick Mahomes with Kansas City, Aaron Rodgers with Green Bay. Even though Tom Brady's in Tampa Bay, we're still going to regard him as a Patriot player, as a Patriot organizational member. In the NBA, that's more of a player's league. LeBron let it be known that, hey, we control things. So it didn't matter to him that, hey, Cleveland wasn't working out anymore, couldn't win a championship here, I'm going to go to Miami. And then he went back to Cleveland because he felt he had a chance to go to college, and now he's ready to take a real job and bring a championship
there. But came through and won them their first championship in franchise history.
And that's the difference. He was able to come through after the first time in Cleveland, and he made each stop his own. He went to Dwayne Wade's team and made that
his own.
Miami.
But you feel like Cleveland is his.
Cleveland is his.
That's
fair.
A long period of his career in Cleveland, born in Akron.
Right.
Went back to Cleveland, won a championship. I still feel like that's his.
Right. LA is never going to be his. He's part of the lineage.
Agreed. Yeah.
It's always going to be Kobe's, always going to be Magic's, always going to be Shaq's, always going to be Kareem's.
1,000%. Cleveland is his.
Right.
So my question with KD. Like, okay, see him, but I get it, but I guess it's his to a degree.
But the problem the thing that bothers me when people try to throw that Kevin Durant, and I hate to call it names, Charles Barkley, who I respect a lot. But Charles Barkley putting that out there about being a bus driver and all that thing with Kevin Durant, that you got to be the bus driver. Well, Charles Barkley, when things were working out in Philadelphia, moved on to Phoenix. When Kevin Johnson was there, Dan Marley, all those dudes, got them to the NBA Finals. And I guarantee you had thrown that kind of conversation about being a bus driver the way he threw that at Kevin Durant, it would have been an issue.
A lot of it is what it sees, right? It's what people perceive. Like, perception is different than what reality is. So a lot of perception that's been built around these two is that KD always defers. And what lends people to that perception is when there are these things that sometimes other players might have openly stated, hey, we don't rock like that. Kevin Durant has not said anything publicly about how Kyrie has handled some things. So people, I think, have mistaken his silence for him deferring, when I know that's not the case behind the scenes.
Well, whatever that is, and that's not to say that you're not making a cogent point, because you are. But I've always been a big believer, it's not so much what the player brings to the situation or the celebrity brings to the situation, it's what you bring to it. No matter what he does, people are never going to forgive Kevin Durant.
Never.
And you made this point off air about 15 minutes ago. They're never going to forgive Kevin Durant, and I'm with you on this one, for leaving to go to Golden State.
They can't get over it.
He can win championship after championship after championship. He could cure cancer.
Well, that's my thing.
And no one's going to give him a pass.
No one will ever give him a pass in Golden State. But if he won one, considering all the chaos, and stuck his feet in Brooklyn, I think there would be a lot more. And he doesn't need this. I'm not saying Kevin needs this to validate his own greatness to himself, but there is a sense from others that they will respect him more.
You think so?
If he built something of his own. If he navigated Kyrie differently. Now, if he were to leave and then go to Rip City, he may win championships. Ships may still be considered one of the greatest of all time. Mm-hmm. I will see it that way.
I think you're in a minority, because people are still never.
That's what I'm saying. A lot of people will see it that way. Well, you had to go to somebody else's team where they established the culture, because you couldn't do that on your own. To me, as a hooper, that doesn't minimize his greatness
either.
But I'm in the deep end of the basketball world, right? That's not a lot of people.
You want more for Kevin Durant than other people want more for him, because you know exactly what kind of situation he's dealing with the Brooklyn Nets.
It's the same with any athlete, because I know people on the outside look at it.
Right, and I get that. And that's bringing a different perspective. And you're exactly right, Jay, to bring that kind of perspective. I said the same thing last week on First Take, that Russell Westbrook, for all the criticism that he gets, he's the kind of draft pick that you should always want, because he was able to override himself. People never thought this guy was going to be an MVP.
I'll give you another one. Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, right? Like, think the whole narrative that, he wasn't really, look when he drops back and he throws the ball 40 or 50 times. Look how all the numbers go down and the analytics. And they were a run-first team with Marshawn Lynch. And their defense was what got him there. The Legion of Boom, like, all this stuff.
It's true.
And it's true, right? But it's all of a sudden, like, it's used, like, well, he's, even though he came off an injury last year, well, he's not the quarter. He's not a top 10 quarterback. I'm like, whoa, wait a second.
At one point he was. Right now, I don't think so.
Okay.
But at one point he was. At one point,
it feels
he
like there's
the
something
lead.
For him to prove now in the AFC West in Denver, with things reloaded, right?
Yeah. Especially in that division.
So, like, I feel like for somebody who's done it at a very, very high level,
true.
Like, you go through these lulls where people all of a sudden start disrespecting you, like you can't do it on your own, and that's what I hate. That's what I hate.
Well, if you hate it, I can only imagine how much he can't stand.
Oh.
And it's one thing if the average Joe and Josephine throws that at Kevin Durant, he can put them in a place that you haven't been in my shoes. You haven't been in this situation. But when your peers from the past says it, that drives him nuts. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to speak for him, because I know how I would feel. I would say, wait a minute, when you had your chance to do your thing, why don't you let me do my thing the way I want to do it and how I want to go about it? But as long as that perception is out there, he's never going to win in that court. And he knows that more than anybody else, in my opinion.
And here's the biggest challenge, I think, for Kevin Durant. And it's a challenge for, I think, a lot of athletes or anybody in the public eye. We all go through maturation processes, right? Like, I talk to my wife about this all the time. Like, there are a lot of things that she goes through that are not in the public eye, and it allows her to deal with it privately, where people don't see the mistakes that are made or how difficult it is to navigate, do I do this or do I do that? And for other people, publicly, when you have to make these decisions, especially for, I think, for KD, who, I mean, he's gotten into spats with different media members. You've seen the way he handles conflict, right? You wonder, okay, if there's conflict here internally with something that you're trying to build, we all know the process it takes to build something of your own. But how do you handle that?
Mm-hmm.
And we're watching it in real time as he matures through the process.
And we're watching it because he's dealing with a mercurial person known as Kyrie Irving. Somebody that he signed up with, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, you better be careful what you wish for, because you signed with a guy like that. As my dad told me a long time ago, some people just like fire. You can't get too close. But now he can't have any choice. He's made his choice that he wants to try to do this either with Kyrie or without Kyrie based on his trade demands. How going forward the Brooklyn Nets going to handle this is going to be very interesting, but also more important, how Kevin Durant's going to handle this.
I also think what Kyrie, I mean, I know it's his money, but I also think what Kyrie does talks about Kevin Durant too.
We shall see. Yeah, this is page one of that. Mm. They're probably at page 30 when it comes to that. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max with Jay Williams and Freddie Coleman, presented by Progressive Insurance. Are we seeing the beginning of the end of the NCAA? And how much of that could affect Jay Williams and his basketball team known as Duke?
What?
This is ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Jay Williams over here. Freddie Coleman over there. People, presented by Progressive Insurance and ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Since XM Channel 80 tuned in to ESPN 2. For those who are wondering,
man is rubbing my
what
back.
Is going on here?
Don't tell me to take it. Get away from me.
But, Jay, this behind is your fault.
Me. Wait, no, he's yes, behind me telling me to take it. I don't want to take it. I don't like it.
You put a tweet out there saying you needed no, resumes for an executive
get
assistant.
Get out of here.
And this is what he has wrought.
I'm not shiny. My T-zone is not shiny. Stop. Yates, I don't like this game. I'm not on your team, man.
Good hustle.
Good hustle.
Computer blue. Darling picky.
Ow. Ow. Maybe you guys want to come back to my house for some pancakes?
Thank you. Pancakes. This is your fault. You put it out there, executive assistant. The staff here put on ties and nice shirts to be your executive assistant.
I'm not asking my EA to give me a massage on my shoulders on TV.
You didn't say anything about not doing it.
Yeah, well,
you didn't place it out there.
Obviously, I need to put some parameters
in
place.
Yes, you do.
How this relationship is going to work.
Eric and Charlotte, 888-729-3776. Why would you be a good executive assistant for Jay Williams who's looking for one?
Hi, guys. Yeah, well, first and foremost, I'm 6'5". I have a wicked jump shot, 3-time honorable mention All-American.
Nice. Okay.
And I'm the curator of the documentary that I did about Brooklyn basketball during the pandemic.
And plus, let's get some shots up and let's make some content. Okay.
What school, by the way?
That's what I'm talking about.
I played at Midwood High School in Brooklyn. I played at Long Island University back in the 70s. Albert King's era.
Okay. Wow. BK all day, every day.
Plus, I did a documentary about the... Yeah, and plus I did a documentary about basketball, so I'm a little bit more advanced in my knowledge of sports than the guys that I'm competing with.
Okay. All right, let's see if that's the case. Let's put it to the test.
Yeah, and my by the way, my documentary is called Ball Side Middle.
Okay, way to get a plug in. I see you working. I see you working. All right, I got to ask you a question here. I got to test this basketball IQ and knowledge. What do you see happening with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving? Go. You got 20
seconds. First and foremost, when it comes to Kevin Durant, when you're trying to get validation, which you mentioned earlier, you can't use that because it can be toxic to the goal. So if he's trying to validate himself, like you said, put your feet down somewhere, not in your mouth. Don't put your foot in your mouth. Put your feet down. Okay. Create a foundation that people will view it as being, you know, legendary, and which he is anyway. But this way it gets the naysayers to conform to say, you know, he did it the right way. So you're right, Jay. Put your foot down.
Okay.
I'm not going to look at him differently. And by the way, thanks for the phone call. And also, well plugged, well played, BK all day, every day in the house. I'm not going to put that on Kevin Durant in terms of that's not going to lessen him in my eyes. But we mentioned this about 10 minutes ago. That's how people are going to think of him, that if he decides to go somewhere else, or even if he does, if, let's say if he does win a championship in Brooklyn, I can't even imagine what that narrative is going to sound like with Kevin Durant.
Once again, we talked about this openly, Freddie. Me as a basketball guy, I appreciate his greatness. I know it's one, he is a unicorn in the game of basketball. We have never really seen somebody like him. But there will be a lot of people that will say he never put his roots down somewhere.
No doubt. I get
it. And eventually, guy, be like, yo, I can't be out here going to all these different places. Like, I got to make something mine and make it great.
Well, Kevin Durant believes the game is his and the ball is his.
Yeah.
And that's good enough for him. Mm. Whether it's good enough for some other people, that is something that he's going to have to deal with when it comes to that. Keep weighing in anytime you want to. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That'll allow you to be a part of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, as well as ESPN2. And how much of this could affect Jay Williams and Duke basketball? What I mean by that is the Big 12, because the Pac-12 lost USC and UCLA, they'll lose them to the Big 10. The Big 12 could be looking to add up to six Pac-12 teams: Colorado, Utah, Arizona, Arizona State, Oregon, and Washington. Meanwhile, the Pac-12 is trying to ramp it up when it comes to talks for a new TV deal. Reese Davis, ESPN College Game Day host, when he was on some show called Freddie Fitzsimmons last night, said SEC should try to do this to combat what the Big Ten has done and what the Big 12 is trying to do.
If I were Sankey, I would hit Notre Dame and try to get them to join. Go after them. I would go North Carolina before Clemson, and I know that's going to infuriate my Clemson friends. But North Carolina. That would be
why?
Where I would go first.
Quickly, why?
Because
why?
I think they've got a stronger national brand. Now, Clemson's been great for the last 10 years in football. But you and I both know, Ian, that prior to that, they were a wonderful regional school.
Yep.
And I don't think they have the longstanding national brand that North Carolina does. Now, it doesn't mean that I wouldn't take Clemson. I don't want that misunderstood. I'm just saying in the pecking order, I would probably go North Carolina first.
So let's say that happens. What does that do to North Carolina Duke in sports, especially in basketball?
No mas. It's gone. I mean, Reese does make a really interesting point about, obviously, Clemson has been a national powerhouse, even though I think that's dropped off a little bit the last couple of years under Dabo. But North Carolina, Brand Jordan, the reach of their football program, mm-hmm. Sam Howell has made a little bit of a stretch over the last couple of years.
Sure.
Basketball program. I hear to a degree what Reese is saying from a national recognition perspective about the brand. It's different. If you're Notre Dame, though, it just makes sense to go to Big Ten.
It's always made sense.
It's just geographically in your footprint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then all of a sudden, USC Notre Dame game just kind of fits mm-hmm. right in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge monetary opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
It just. For me, that works. But, man, the North Carolina one is, wow.
Because we saw it happen with Texas A&M left to go to SEC. They didn't want to play Texas anymore. Now both in the same conference, and I don't know if Texas A&M wants that anymore, to play them again because they tried to get away from them. But I'm hoping it doesn't get to that. There's still plenty of layers. But at the same time, it would really stink because, to me, that's the one thing about all this changing landscape. You don't get Missouri versus Kansas anymore. In terms of football or any other sport. You don't get Texas A&M anymore. And I'm hoping that's not going to be the case with Duke and North Carolina, especially when it comes to basketball.
Well, I mean, a bigger point is how irrelevant does the NCAA become in football? I mean, it's a superpower conference, and eventually it's what they want to do. So the governing body, you feel like, will inevitably change.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what happens. If it happens in football, basketball is next.
Yeah, and how much will the NCAA be irrelevant when it comes to big-time Division I sports? They'll still have a footprint of 1AA, well, FCS, Division II, Division III. But big-time athletics, football, basketball, and baseball, good luck, NCAA. That means a lot of people are going to be looking for jobs. A lot of people are going to be looking for jobs. J. Will, Freddie, coming part of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. What happens if the Brooklyn Nets can't trade KD and Kyrie. Then what?
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.